Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Tune into our weekly radio show. For more information, go to checkpointradio.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint Podcast on the Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
What up?
Norris Howard.
Do something.
And over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
It's like to be here.
So we like to start off this show reading some of your iTunes reviews. It's a great way to get direct feedback from our audience. And I am happy to say that today we have three new iTunes
read them all.
Reviews.
Read them all.
To choose from. One of them is quite lengthy.
I don't care.
I think we should just read one of them, to be honest.
Just in case next week we don't get any again.
That's
read
right.
Two of them. Read the two short ones.
I want to know
read
the
long
one. Yeah, I want the long one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all impatient.
No, I want the long one.
Give us a long one.
No, I'm reading the two short ones.
Damn.
Sorry.
Appropriate.
Executive decision.
Joe wants the long one.
So.
Always.
No, because here's
Wait,
that took me a second. God damn it.
Oh, man.
God damn it.
Woo. Inappropriate.
I feel really stupid right now. But here's the thing. The reason that I want to read the two short ones is because the first one comes to us from Underdone Pork Chop, and that's now my new favorite
Underdone
review name that we've had on this
Not
show.
Not rare. Underdone.
How did that come about?
I have no idea.
Underdone.
I want Underdone. Underdone Pork Chop, write in again and like do another review under a different account name and tell us how that came about.
Yeah, Overdone Pork Chop.
Yes.
Anyway, he calls us a bunch of nerds.
Yes.
That's true. Fair. Thank you.
Thank you, Underdone Pork Chop. Says, I'm only rating and writing because they will read my review.
Stop. Stop now. Abort.
Well done.
Abort.
Great content on esports news and teams. Only have listened to about 20 episodes, but I'm still listening. And that says something. Good job. You guys distract me from doing my job.
Aww.
Thank you. Thank you, Underdone
That's
Pork
awesome.
Chop.
I hope he doesn't do anything important.
You are amazing.
He's
and
like an ambulance. Driver.
No, what are you talking about? He's a senator.
We really appreciate the review and the clever name. Make sure you can join our crazy community. We are live 5 days a week over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, where we record Checkpoint XP daily. And if you're a podcast listener and you may not listen to the national show, good news, because starting next week, we're going to have the Checkpoint XP daily podcast for you to subscribe to. So you'll have daily discussions with all of us bunch of nerds that you can download 5 days a week.
What if Underdone Pork Chop was Lindsey Graham?
Senator Lindsey Graham?
That would be the weirdest name for him to choose for an iTunes handle.
Is it? That he listens to 20 episodes of us, that he can figure out how to download a podcast? No.
No.
No, there's no way.
Fair enough.
You'd be surprised, man. There are certain older people who are with it.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Lindsey Graham is not Lindsey one not, of them.
No, you're right.
Yeah, no. Our second review comes to us from Bozerk56.
Bozerk.
Okay.
An interesting blend and great podcast. 5-star review from Bozerk saying, I almost wanted to give this 4 stars because you guys guilted me into this while I was catching up on the November 10th episode.
I almost got my wish.
I also wanted to say that the podcast is great and you guys nailed my feelings on Detective Pikachu. Horror, then I'm going to finally spend the $9 on it.
There it is.
Started listening through the FF14 podcast, but I'm enjoying all the offerings. Thank you so much, Bozerk56. We appreciate that review, as well as the review from Underdone Pork Chop. Again, if you want to have your review read here on the show, then make sure that you head on over to iTunes and leave us a little review. Look up the Checkpoint podcast.
Thank you kindly.
So we're going to address it here in case anyone may have missed it, because the content on our website has shifted quite considerably. We heard your feedback on the Mixcloud app and having the full shows on demand available through Mixcloud.
This is the last time we're listening to you guys, by the way.
So here's the thing. So we have ditched Mixcloud, and now we're going to be podcasting Checkpoint XP daily. So if you you're a fan of the Checkpoint podcast and you just want more of it, then you're going to be able to subscribe to a whole separate feed. It's not going to appear on this feed, by the way. It's going to be a whole separate feed for Checkpoint XP Daily. We're also going to be separating out other shows like Low Team Damage, The Other Identity, and the new show that premiered this week, Checkpoint 76, into their own feeds as well.
I cannot get over how great of a first episode that wound up being.
Wasn't it,
though? It really did.
I was shocked. Like,
I know there are going to be people who say, wow, they scripted that. We couldn't.
Nope. There is no way.
Not possible.
No way to script that. You can find that replay over at our YouTube channel, as well as right here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. But there will be a podcast feed for it. There will be separate podcast feeds for each show that we do. There will not be a master feed. So just so you guys know, you're going to have to kind of a la carte the different types of content that you want from Checkpoint.
And there's no duplication, so it's okay if you just want everything. Grab everything.
Exactly.
If there's, hey, if you don't like The Other Identity, you think me and Robbie
suck. Screw you!
Then screw you, first of all. But you don't have to subscribe to it.
But the other thing that we're going to stop doing is we're going to stop podcasting the news segments here on this feed so that it becomes consistently just Checkpoint the podcast. Yes. So we're going to be separating that out. And considering that that's a part of Checkpoint XP Daily,
you're
that's
not like, really missing it.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be able to catch up on all of your news discussion there. So that's some of the bevy of changes that are coming in. And this is all really just because of our conversion over to Beasley. It's nothing to be concerned about. We do apologize for the downtime and the outage on the content, but don't worry. I think that when it comes back, you're going to be way, way, way more satisfied than you were getting frustrated with that Mixcloud app. So
because we get it.
Yes, exactly.
Believe me,
exactly.
We get it.
So let's get into our topic for this week and Netflix. Now, usually announcements from Netflix are hugely exciting,
yep,
but this one got a decidedly mixed reaction. Netflix has announced a new live-action series based on the anime classic godlike series Cowboy Bebop.
All right, so here's a reaction.
First of all, I'm not going to hear any like arguments on the fact that it is godlike. It is a godlike series.
God-tier
anime. It is one of the best ever made, period.
I just want to say what the collective reaction was. Oh, great.
Well, so far, Netflix does not have a great track record at turning anime properties into live action. I would say that the reaction...
Didn't they do the Death Note one?
They did do the Death Note one.
Oh, that shit was trash. All,
that's what I understand.
No one has a great track record of turning animes into live action series.
I tried to watch the Bleach one as a joke just to like get at Cheshire Duck. 5 minutes into it, I'm like, no, I can't even take this.
Netflix,
like, ironically.
No,
Netflix turned Castlevania into a decent anime. I liked it anyway.
No, that's the thing. It's not, I don't think it's difficult to turn certain things into anime. I don't think that's hard to do.
No, they turned
Especially
The Matrix
games.
Into anime.
Yeah, which...
Animatrix.
No, the Animatrix is dope.
It is. That's one of the... I love the Animatrix.
Right? So, I get it. But the thing is, with Cowboy Bebop, is Cowboy Bebop, from when it came out, only could have been an anime. It couldn't have been. If they tried it live action first, it's a show that would have failed.
It's called Firefly.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth.
By the way, why do we need a live action Cowboy Bebop when we have Firefly?
Just make more Firefly.
Just make
because
more
Fox.
Firefly.
That's why. Because Fox.
But the thing is that Cowboy Bebop, as Nate illustrated, is one of my favorite animes of all time. It's absolutely perfect in every way. It's
yep.
the perfect length. The pacing's great. The thing
how there's many not seasons did it get?
It was a 26 episode run.
Run.
That's
it.
I mean,
okay,
that's pretty
that's
perfect.
It.
That's
perfect.
Typical for most anime series. Not many of them have the
not
the,
everything is Bleach.
The bloated 900 episodes. That you know
yeah,
all of the Shonen Jump fucking bullshit has. So that I think is a big distinction. Yeah, there were 26 episodes for Cowboy Bebop. Every single one of them is perfect. There is not like I can't
There's
think
barely any fluff or filler.
Yeah, name me a bad episode of Cowboy Bebop.
I cannot.
No. I mean, I thought the series got way better once Edward showed up, but yeah.
The movie, I was not as big of a fan of as the series, because I didn't... I felt like 30 minutes was the perfect runtime for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't sustain the movie well enough.
So,
I think
so.
The formula that you got in a Cowboy Bebop episode was well-suited to 30 minutes and was, like, what was the runtime of that movie? About an hour and 25 minutes?
Something like
hour
that.
And half, hour and a half. 90 minutes, which is typical for OVA.
Yeah.
And it came out so much, like, after the series had wrapped up. I felt like it was weird to go back to it.
But it is. 30 minutes is perfect for Cowboy Bebop. Problem, we're poor. Solution, we have to go get a bounty. Resolution, we didn't get the bounty.
Why are we still
like,
poor?
Why are we still poor? That's Cowboy Bebop in a nutshell up until like the last like seven episodes.
Right, yeah, and then it becomes all about Vicious and yeah.
So that's the thing. So I my biggest concern when it comes to something like Cowboy Bebop and a live action conversion is something very simple. Is that Cowboy Bebop is the coolest shit ever made.
Tone is going to be the biggest thing that they have to get right.
I don't know how you get something that fucking cool with actual human beings.
That's the problem. No, I totally get what you're saying. It's the same like kind of argument that you make when you talk about like characters.
Yeah.
Like when you talk about like the Joker or someone like that, he's only amazing because you can't comprehend him.
Right.
Because he's beyond the world of comprehension.
Well, but I think in a much more practical way, like look at the Ghost in the Shell movie and what they did with Bateau. Right? Like, Bateau is a beloved character. I love Bateau. But, like, he did not translate to being an actual character in the same way that he did in the anime.
The whole movie didn't translate.
Well, yeah, I get that. But, I mean, like, you know, when you have a character like Jet, who has all of these different, like, metal scraps on his body,
yeah.
How does that exactly translate? How do you translate that into
it's
a
the same
tangible,
reason,
like, costuming?
It's the same reason why, like, Dragon Ball doesn't translate to real life. Very well.
Picture real life Cell.
That's stupid. Real life Piccolo, stupid. But beyond that, before you even get to the crazy alien characters, just conceptualizing somebody taking their hands and throwing beams out of them.
You can make it look cool in anime.
Right.
You can't make it look cool in real life.
No one's figured it out.
There a fan DBZ thing that was like, oh shit, they actually nailed it? Like I remember
I don't know.
No,
I remember
there's
seeing
been
something
a fan
like that.
Street Fighter thing that they nailed.
Okay, that I
which,
think I've seen
again.
But I thought there was a DBZ one too.
Quick clarification. Do we know if this is going to be just a movie or if they're doing like a series?
We don't know.
Okay.
I don't think
that wasn't clear.
They just said live action Cowboy Bebop.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, but the thing, but I agree with you, Robbie. That's an important distinction.
I think if it's going to work, it probably has to be a series.
No,
you don't think so?
No, I think if it's going to work, it has to be a movie.
Because trying to fit, because you guys are talking
about, I disagree.
You guys are talking about character translations, trying to fit all of that stuff from what was a 26 episode arc, into just two or three hours?
And I agree with you. But here's a perfect example, right? Is that the closest thing that Netflix has on its series in live action?
It's a 10 episode series.
Okay,
all right, that's okay. As a matter of fact, 10 episodes.
But I mean, like, you can.
That's palatable.
Without getting into any of the Vicious stuff,
that's palatable.
You can do that whole bounty of the week sort of thing.
You could do the bounty of the week stuff.
Yeah.
You can introduce Faye and Edward.
Literally, just hearing the cast, like this article is like Spike Spiegel, Jet Black, Faye Valentine, and Radical Ed. I'm like, oh my god, yes, I want to watch the series again now.
But I want to watch the anime.
Yes,
like, but the thing that I'm saying is I think it could function well as a movie because you could take one bounty, make it 90 minutes, do it well. I know you didn't like the movie.
I did not like that.
But I just think for live action, that would be a good format. 10 episodes is a little bit more palatable than trying to fit 22. But
original anime director Shinichiro Watanabe is on board.
Interesting.
Here's the thing, Robbie. The closest thing they have to anything near Cowboy Bebop live action wise is Altered Carbon, which
was good, though.
Firefly too. I mean, Firefly was really.
No, I'm saying from Netflix.
Oh, from Netflix.
From Netflix.
Okay, gotcha.
Production house. Altered Carbon is to me the definition of okay. Because I got seven episodes in, and like it just, I care nothing more about it.
Here's the but the thing about Netflix is that I don't know I literally don't know this. I don't know how much of it is internal to Netflix or how much of these projects Netflix catches wind of and then buys.
So
you know what I mean? Because like the thing is that there is no like if you watch Maniac and then you go and you watch you know Altered Carbon, there's not a commonality that runs between the two. You can tell that those are two entirely creative, different creative teams that work on those. And I think that that lends more credence to the idea that Netflix goes out there and finds unique and creative projects, funds them, and sees them made.
But that the
raw production portion of it is mostly on who is receiving the investment.
But that's part of my worry is the fact that Netflix has already come out in the past year, 2 years, talking about their inflating cost with producing so many original shows. And for something like Cowboy Bebop, you cannot cheap this show.
No, you really can't.
You cannot do this show on the cheap.
Sci-fi is not the cheapest.
It's got to be top notch. And
at the same time, the fucking Sci-Fi Channel did Farscape for I don't know how many seasons, and that show ruled.
It was amazing. I didn't know you watched Farscape.
I love Farscape.
Oh my God, Nate, did we become best friends again?
Farscape is one of the best shows.
We don't know what we're dealing with.
That has ever been on television. It was sci-fi.
I wanna hug you.
And you could tell that it was made without a ridiculous budget. It was it was one of the best projects that the Jim Henson Company did.
And Jason, the producer in our Twitch chat, says Babylon 5 was also done on the channel.
Yes,
which is a great show. No, it is a
sci-fi
great show.
Can be done right on a budget.
You know, as I think about it,
do Cowboy Bebop on the cheap.
I don't know.
I don't think you can. All right, here's the.
I'm more concerned about the people making it having context for all of the, you know, like the clever in stuff that we praise the Pokemon trailer for having. That's a bigger concern than the overall budget.
You want to know who's working on it?
You can do some very, very clever things with some very, very, you know, like old school film techniques to pull off some of this stuff. And I think that the budget is less crucial than the people involved. Who's involved, Joe?
Just to your point real quick, I think about a movie like Alien. That's kind of going to be a similar style as we're going to see in something like Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
That's not on a horrendous budget.
No,
it's not.
No.
So,
mostly you're concerned with exterior shots of ships and stuff like that.
Of the Bebop, but also I'm concerned with the fact, like, if they go to Mars or any of the big colonies, that's a lot
of elements.
You don't
want it to look like ass.
Yeah, you don't want it to look like ass. It's a lot of elements.
That is actually, you know what, that's a great point, because one of the huge elements about Cowboy Bebop was the fact that they were going to so many different planets.
Yeah.
It's a lot of locales. It felt like a very expansive universe that they had to be able to draw from. I agree that part of it is going to be much more complicated, but I also, at the same time, think green screening is better than it has ever been, and so you can do that kind of stuff still on the cheap.
All right, so this is being developed by Tomorrow Studios.
Okay.
Here's our writers. We've got co-writers Andre Nemec and Josh Applebaum, who did Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which, Robbie, you were a big fan of, right? Was Ghost Protocol the one that you really liked?
I didn't. What was the newest one?
I didn't dislike any of them, but Fallout was the
big one.
That's right.
Cavil Stash, yeah. But Ghost Protocol was okay.
We've got Jeff Pinkner and Scott Rosenberg, who worked on Venom and Jumanji.
Which Jumanji? The new one.
Okay. That's great.
Okay.
No. The new Jumanji was great.
No, that's what I said.
And we also have the first episode being written by Christopher Yost, who did Thor Ragnarok.
Oh,
okay. That, you know,
you got my attention.
You got my attention.
Now, he also did Thor Dark World, so, you know, pros and cons.
All right, yeah, smiles and
pros and cons.
You know, but the thing is that the writing and the effects and all that stuff, not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is three things. I already said one is, can you make it cool? Two, can you find somebody who is just as cool and disaffected and disassociated as Spike while still caring about everything at the same time?
Yeah.
Like, that is Spike is a very complex character while appearing not complex at all.
You know what?
Hang on. Squall.
No, he is.
No,
he's not. You know what? Not at all.
As I think about it, as we're talking about the different settings, Stargate was another show made on what you can tell is an obvious budget.
No, shoestring budget.
That went to a variety of different locations and had a variety of different worlds that they would go to.
Wasn't Star Trek TNG not on a big budget either?
I don't think.
But here's my point with that is that we're all talking about shows in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true.
The standard
but if you're
is
clever,
different.
But
the standard
I'm just saying.
Is different, Nate. The standard is different.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
If you had somebody come out with a show that looked like TNG in 2018, you
would
say this is the shittiest show ever made.
But the point is that the tech has come so far.
Exactly. Exactly.
I acknowledge that.
That's the point is that I don't think a show could come out in 2018 looking like something that came out in 1996 without it being fully intentional that they're doing.
Jason, also coming back. I can tell you guys to shut up. TNG first came out as the most expensive show on TV at $1.6 million an episode.
Most of that
was budget, Jason.
Most of that had to be on the cast, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think Patrick Stewart was cheap.
No, you had like Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, you did have Whoopi Goldberg.
I have something for Jason. No, you shut up.
Times out the producer.
Got it.
Nice.
Damn, Rob.
That's savage.
My main concern is the fact, the biggest thing. So I said that, making sure Spike is Spike, making sure it's cool. And three, the music. If the music is not right, the music is not right, this show is a failure.
Well, and that's that. You know what? That's one of the big things about the guy who made it is that his other projects, like he bases each of his animes around a different style of music. Samurai Champloo, obviously hip hop.
That's what I'm saying. If you took Samurai Champloo and removed Nujabes out of it, that show is a very mediocre. Samurai.
I'm thinking about it too because like the odds of them using the original intro theme are really low, but I'd be super disappointed if they didn't. It's one of the best intro themes in the history of anime.
It's one of the best intro themes in the history of television.
It is the most attention grabbing.
Yes.
I mean, like you, it doesn't matter where you are. If you hear it, you know what it is.
I showed that intro to my dad. I was watching Adult Swim one day and he was just downstairs and he hears, and he just goes, "What are you watching?" And I was just like, "Check it out."
No, you shouldn't.
As he gives me $5.
But he
Joanna.
Comes, yeah,
top 10 anime betrayal from Joanna.
Seriously. But he comes down to the basement and he sees, and he just sits there and watches the whole episode with me. And he goes, "Man, this show is really cool." And that's all you need. If you can do that, because it is attention grabbing.
It is.
And you can hold somebody, because that first episode of Cowboy Bebop, if that first episode didn't get your attention in this series, the way that episode ended, you're soulless. You're a soulless human, and I don't want to be around.
Can I just say to do
what?
We get to cast this show, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've got to cast it.
Can I just say, though, real quick, my favorite part of the intro music is not the opening hit. It's the slap upright bass that follows. I mean, like, it is the greatest soundtrack in anime history.
Yeah, it is.
It's so good. Dude, between that and Samurai Champloo, I put Bebop over Champloo a little bit. But both of those. And that's the thing, is that when it comes down to these types of shows, as you said, it has to be somebody that has the context.
Yes.
And it almost has to be more than just nostalgia. Yeah. It has to be a passion project.
I agree.
I wouldn't... Dude, if this show is the TV show version of Scott Pilgrim versus the World,
yes.
Ooh.
This will be amazing.
Yes. But it's that attention to detail that you have to have. Like,
so is it a retelling of the story or is it a continuation of the story?
I don't care if you do either. Well, you...
No, you got to retell it.
You got to retell it.
You got to retell it because
of story reasons.
If you tried to continue
it's really difficult.
Yeah. That's really difficult.
But the thing is,
I kind of want it to just be like, ignoring the ending, like these are just the continuing adventures. Like these are just
I don't want that. I want you to retell it. If you're gonna do it, retell it.
Yeah.
Seeing how good Scott Pilgrim versus the World was, like, I think you could do it. And I mean, like, go all in.
It's possible.
Like, recreate some sequences frame by frame, which is what they did in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes,
like,
I agree. Thoroughly
agree.
Because
they did panel for panel in some of those sequences. Yes. Like, if you can do it, do it.
Do it. Yeah, I agree. And I'm telling you, digital filmmaking has progressed so far that, like, if a live action Evangelion was announced, right? Like, I'd have some trepidation.
Pacific Rim?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd have some trepidation, but at the same time, I'd also be like, yeah, but now is the time for it to happen as well. Speaking of Evangelion and Netflix, Evangelion and the movies coming to Netflix, you should watch them.
Go watch them. So we have Gallant in the Twitch chat saying, yes. No, Batman the Animated Series is the best intro of all time.
Ooh. I like Bebop a little bit more as an intro just because I like the music a bit more, but you're right. They're really, really good.
They're both very good.
They're both very good. They both do what an intro is supposed to do and completely capture the tone of the series.
You understand 100%. Exactly what you're about to get into with an episode of Bebop, and you understand exactly what an episode of Batman the Animated Series is going to be about after you hear them.
Oh, I'm still God. Bebop.
I like Bebop a little bit more.
I'm still Bebop.
As much as I like Batman the Animated Series more than Bebop.
Yeah. That's fair.
As far as intros go, no.
I think I put it better.
I'm sorry.
I think I put it better because if you didn't know what Batman the Animated Series was and you just heard that opening swell, you might ignore it. You might ignore it. If you was like washing the dishes, you might ignore it.
Yeah.
It's very hard to ignore that hit in Bebop.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's the most attention-grabbing moment.
Like, yeah.
90s X-Men gets an honorable mention.
You don't get into the animated series one until you hear the bank explosion. That's what, like, pulls you. Because, like, that's when the music starts crescendoing.
But again, that's tone.
Yeah.
Because Batman is all about suspense.
Yes. You're right. Yeah. Oh, man.
While Cowboy Bebop is like, stuff!
Yeah.
I've never been more happy, by the way, to argue between two things because they're both great.
Yeah, no, they are. They're both amazing.
I could do a 30-minute podcast on, like, the best intros. Intros.
Maybe that's next week's podcast. I mean, we could even extend that just to TV intros.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
TV shows have some. I mean, you know, like, R.I.P. Steven Hillenburg, the SpongeBob intro, you know? Like,
anyone remember classic. When they tried to extend the Scrubs intro and, like, the backlash that it got?
Yeah, no, the Scrubs intro was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was short, it got to the point, it told you everything you need to know about the show, and that's it.
I don't remember the Scrubs intro.
You want to know
really
why?
Short.
It's super short.
They tried to make it longer for one episode, and then it went back, because people were like, absolutely not.
No. Mm-mm. The Scrubs intro is what, 12 seconds long?
Yeah, someone walks up, grabs a clipboard, walks into a room, and that character grabs the clipboard. It, like, rotates.
Oh, I remember.
That was a great intro.
Yep. By the way,
speaking of hospitals.
You like 7 seasons later when the girl's like, it's backwards. It's been bothering me for a while now.
Yeah.
Speaking
of good intros, ER was a great intro.
ER, House. Classic. House. Oh,
House is a great intro.
See, but that's what I'm saying.
Right, this is next week's podcast.
Yes, yes. It is.
But here's the thing.
We've already figured it out.
But the thing with the last thing I want to say about Cowboy Bebop is that I think this is going to be bad, but I am going to give it a shot.
Oh, I'll watch it.
I got to try it.
Before we move on from this whole conversation, Joe, you had hit on something. We do have to cast it.
Yeah, we got
to
cast it.
We have to figure out
before
point
we
who.
Cast it, because I wanted to mention, because in between with the Daily Show.
The Fresh Prince, obviously.
Great one, yes. But I'm the only one who hasn't seen Cowboy Bebop.
Right.
And I have decided that I'm going to wait till this comes out before I watch the actual anime, which you guys have already sold me on. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
But the reason that I'm gonna wait is because you guys have such a
love and appreciation,
for it. I feel like we need to have someone amongst
you
us
have the best to be chance of liking
to be fresh
that so, can, that is
objective.
Going to, that is going to
virgin
judge it,
eyes
that's going to judge it based solely on
its own
on
merit.
Because
all right.
Had I watched the Teen Titans cartoon first and watched Titans now, that is not an accurate representation of Teen Titans. But it is still a good show.
And that's what I'm struggling through right now. We did this on Limit Break Radio years ago when Final Fantasy 15 was getting ready to come out. We made an agreement that Nika would do all the content, all the superfluous stuff that came with it, and I would do none of it, and we would both go into it and see who got what our experiences, how they changed.
Right.
I appreciate your idea here, Robbie. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
All right. So
let's cast this,
though.
Yeah.
So this is just between us three, because he doesn't obviously obviously have any idea.
Oh, come on.
No, you don't.
Come on.
You don't know.
I've at least seen what they look like.
Really?
No. Yeah. No, actually, I want to hear his casting suggestions. No, no, I want to hear this.
All right. Spike Spiegel.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Go. See, this is why I... Do you regret it now? Do you regret? Are you made of regret, Joe?
This is the hardest I've laughed this episode. Not really.
Ron fucking Perlman. Are you shitting me?
Shut the fuck up.
I feel like I want to leave. God damn it. Bad joke, Robbie. Emotes in the chat, please.
Good Lord. Spike Spiegel is a really hard character.
Yeah. He's hard.
Because on his face, you immediately go to like the Matthew McConaughey sort of character.
But he needs to be more aloof and
John
like,
Krasinski.
What?
If he went to the gym a little bit.
He was almost Captain America.
If he went to the gym a little bit, took some Jeet Kune Do classes.
I don't know, man.
I know his face is stupid.
Yeah.
But like he's too, I don't know.
Maybe.
Who else is like, I'm thinking of his build. I'm thinking of right. of how he's built.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean like
that's a physical role.
Physically, like Andy Samberg is not that dissimilar if he had facial scruff.
Also true, right. But right. I don't know
but
if he can handle the
goofy.
I don't know
he's
if he can handle
fucking
the physicality.
Goofy. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Have any of you guys seen Into the Badlands?
No.
What about
no.
Oh, so you, do you know who Daniel Wu is?
No.
Yeah, but Spike's not Asian.
I don't know.
That never mattered anyway.
I don't know.
But I'm like coming from you, Norris. Really?
No. But that never mattered. But the thing, maybe
because the way that you described Spike earlier about you know seeming like really aloof but really caring, like that is Daniel Wu's character from Into the Badlands.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
I don't know. I sort of feel like someone like Chris Pratt could pull him off.
Nah,
Chris. I'd like Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt could pull him off for sure.
No. I think he has the acting chops and you know the physicality to do it? Yeah, I think so. I just, my mind's eye doesn't go there for some reason.
My mind's eye
doesn't go there.
So he'd have to show me
if
a little
Adam
bit.
Driver was fucking cooler.
Fuck Adam Driver.
He's a good actor.
He made
man.
Kylo Ren lame. How do you do that?
I'm almost absolutely sure he was given specific instructions to do that.
Yeah, because after I saw Adam Driver in, I've loved him.
Yeah, after I saw him in that Fortnite sketch on Saturday Night Live,
that's
actually,
true. That was very funny.
That character is about right.
It's not that far off, though. I don't know. How many of you guys watched Girls?
I did.
You watched Girls? Robbie, did you watch Girls?
I thought he was the best part of the show.
No, I don't
really?
Think
yeah.
You know what? He's a little bit...
His character and... the little Jewish one. Shoshana.
Oh yeah, see Yo that's
Tina
about the
and Ray.
And Ray the angry one.
By the way, that's about the time that I like broke up with my girlfriend. So I was freed from having to watch that show.
Got it.
So I never saw how that dynamic unfolded.
Got it.
But him and Lena Dunham were fucking. There was no chemistry there.
His character is way better after they are.
I believe that.
Robbie, I don't think it's a good casting, but Keanu Reeves, I would laugh my ass off at seeing Keanu Reeves play Simon or Spike Spiegel.
That was from Yultina.
Oh no,
chat.
People. That was like back in the 90s when they were first like if there was a live action Cowboy Bebop, who would you cast? Keanu Reeves.
I don't know if he looks too old now, but I wouldn't hate Simon Pegg.
I think he is a little bit too old.
He's too old.
I think he's a little bit too old. Hang on. There's another side of the Spike Spiegel character that we're kind of discounting, and that's his whole rivalry with Vicious.
Yeah.
So you need someone like a Chris Evans type that can have a little bit of edge and action to him as well. So I don't think that we've nailed it. There's not one at all. There is not one name out of this where
okay,
I've been
so
like, this is it.
I think we got to move on. Jet. Okay, Robbie, you gotta go first because you have no context for Jet.
I don't even know what Jet looks like, so you gotta give me a minute.
Don't look him up. Just go off the name.
Just go off the name Jet.
Yeah.
Give me a second here then. Hold on. You guys go on with yours, and then I'll just like interrupt it and shatter everyone's hopes and dreams.
Because I'm trying to think of somebody who could do it, man. Jet's another one of those characters that is just hard to nail down.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I can't think of anyone who elicits.
Jet is such a cool name. I'm going to go with Jason David Frank.
You know what? He's got the right shaped head.
What?
Stop it. God, I picture someone like Someone older like Jeff Bridges?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I even Robbie's last suggestion, Ron Perlman, who
is a better
Nocturnal Sandwich in the chat, had suggested.
That's actually not a bad jet right there.
Ooh, Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang.
I could actually see Stephen Lang. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see Paul Rudd be Spike Spiegel.
Oh.
That's who I want to see be Spike Spiegel.
Oh. You know, honestly,
that's a horrible idea.
No,
I love it.
Come on.
He can be goofy, he can be aloof, and he can do action.
He can.
I don't hate it.
I've seen him do all three, and I think he could do it.
I don't like it.
I don't know that I'd like Paul, because I only see Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd.
Exactly.
You know
what's the best role Paul Rudd's ever played?
Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
And he's just Paul Rudd.
He's just sort of Paul Rudd, yeah.
Yeah, but Spike Spiegel's sort of Paul Rudd.
I can't speak to that.
So. I don't know. He's not wrong.
Norris, he's not wrong.
I'm not saying he's wrong.
If Paul Rudd had a chain smoking habit, like that's basically
that's what's
Spike
missing.
Spiegel.
The chain smoking.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Right.
All right.
Put him in a suit. Put him in the suit with the.
Give him some karate lessons.
With the fucking tie half undone. Give him a cigarette. Grow his hair. You gotta grow his hair out.
Would you hate John Goodman as Jet Black?
No, I wouldn't actually.
No,
I wouldn't either.
His voice is awesome.
His voice is kind of right on for
him.
Yeah,
I can see it. I can see it.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate that at all. Jet doesn't require that much action like that.
No, he just has to kind of be able to
patriarchal.
Drop a one-liner
and an imposing visage too. Yeah, you know? he's got to be big.
Yeah, he's got to be a big dude. Yeah.
So we go. First of all, I'm just putting it out there. There is nobody who we can think of that could be Ed. Period. That's got to be somebody we don't know.
I want to try for Ed, though.
Oh, you're right.
It does have to be someone who is, like, it'll probably end up being someone we've never heard of.
Yeah.
No.
What about Mickey Rourke for Jet?
Actually, Mickey Rourke for Jet has just fucked up enough.
Just fucked up enough.
And Mickey Rourke is just short enough on work to take a Netflix job.
Yeah, yep. No shit.
Yep.
See, I'm a helper.
Fine, we'll do Edward.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Go ahead. I want to hear Joe's first, then Nate's.
I have... So Edward has to be this a younger character.
Yes.
Who is kind of crazy and aloof. And you know what? I wouldn't hate Macy Williams.
Okay.
All right. I see it.
Okay.
I see it.
I could see that. I could see that. I don't know... Because I'm not really... Like, I'm not a creeper. I don't follow young actresses like that.
Fuck, I could see Macy Williams as Ed.
I could.
And here's why. Because I watched her in the last season of Game of Thrones, and I'm like, yeah, she can play a psychopath. Sure,
yeah.
She can be Ed.
Sure. But the humor to Ed's character.
Yeah. I don't know if she could do it.
I think could be perfectly executed by a Kate McKinnon type.
Okay.
If we can find a younger
but it's
Kate McKinnon.
Young.
I know. Yeah. Kate McKinnon is a little bit edgy. Yeah. She's aged out of it because Ed's very young.
Yeah. Ed is like, what, 13 or 14?
13, 14, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But someone with that same kind of comedic chops and energy.
Kate McKinnon's timing and her delivery
is perfect for Ed.
Yeah.
Yes. She could do it. She could do it.
Yeah.
All right. I got one.
Okay.
For Edward is
yeah
is
radical
the
Ed
name?
All right. Radical all right. Ed.
Now you guys have to stick with me a second because it can seem really weird. All right,
I'm sure it will.
We do have to go back in time a little bit, but we need a younger Haley Joel Osment.
You're right. We would have to travel back in time
quite a bit.
Yeah, because he looks weird now, guys.
Super weird.
He looks super weird.
He looks like a person I've seen at YumaCon.
Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Like,
oh,
the perpetual YumaCon attendee.
Ouch. Like, he's only doing
from Kalamazoo.
I mean, like, I'm not claiming to be like a cute kid or anything, but I feel like Haley Joel Osment and myself had the same arc of like how our bodies filled out over the years, right?
Aww.
Like, he looks about as awkward as I do.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Last thing I saw him in was this weird Adult Swim show, is like called like Cry of the Heart or something, and it was just unsettling to see what Haley Joel Osment became.
All right, last one. Faye Valentine. Now, okay,
this is challenging.
Of course everybody just wants to just go and pick somebody hot, right? But you have to understand, you have to pick somebody who is like,
what's her character like? She's a femme fatale,
but she is, Faye is the definition of, she been here before.
Yes. Almost sort of like Hooker with a Heart of Gold.
Yeah.
But okay. More jaded.
We already know who it's going to be, so it doesn't matter.
Do we? There's an actual casting on that one?
No.
Oh.
But let's be careful. It's going to be ScarJo. We know it's going to end up being ScarJo.
No. I'm going to do you better.
I refuse if it is.
I kick that producer down if it's ScarJo.
Agreed. Kristen Ritter, Jessica Jones.
No.
Good guess.
Not bad.
Good guess.
But no.
Good guess, but no.
Because you do need someone who's like va-va-va-voom, sort of like Jessica Rabbit sort of thing. Because that was always her appeal. Like, she was, and she knew it. She weaponized it.
No, she did.
Are we thinking like Anne Hathaway sort of thing?
No. God, no.
My mind kind of went there, but no. I was thinking of the acting part of it.
There's no fucking way. She's not badass enough.
No, I don't think so either.
You need someone who, when you look at her, is like, holy shit, that
Mila
woman has
Jojovich.
History. Maybe.
Mila
That's
Jojovich.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. I think she could do it.
I think, and I hate to say this, because
she's got that, she's
got the thousand piercing. Yards, the thousand
yeah,
yards there.
She's,
you're right.
She looks piercing.
And I really hate to say this specifically about a female actress, because I feel like this is really unfair and a lot of... A lot of actresses have spoken to this about how frustrating it is, but I feel like an Uma Thurman type, if she were younger, would be
perfect.
Because my mind immediately went to
a joke.
Uma
Thurman. But like again, the character is a little bit younger than Uma Thurman is.
My mind immediately went to like when I thought of like Thor Ragnarok. Cate Blanchett was a badass. She was awesome.
Cate Beckinsale for Faye's not terrible. That's not bad.
But again, I still think it's like 10 years.
Nate, do you think that
might be right.
Do you think Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has the acting for it?
Which one is she?
Quake.
No.
No.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Olivia Wilde.
Actually,
I would be so happy.
There you go.
Actually,
my personal crush from House.
There you go.
You gave me 13 is going to be in this.
Olivia Wilde.
Yes. There it is.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Write it down.
Yes.
Robbie got
Make
two
that
of these.
Happen.
Because again, she's got the
she here. Got the glare.
She got the thousand yard stare.
Everybody's going to talk about, like you said, she's got to be like the weaponized sexuality, but all of Faye is right here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
See, I
and that's
pass.
Where and that Olivia's got that same quality to her too.
Oh, Olivia Wilde, yes, please.
Biggest
biggest I need this in my life.
I love
we
Olivia
have
Wilde.
Saved this show.
We've also made it an extraordinarily expensive show to cast.
Yes. True.
There's no way you have the budget.
$18 million an episode.
You know, another Olivia that wouldn't be Olivia Munn wouldn't be terrible.
I wouldn't
either.
Hate it.
Wouldn't hate it.
I prefer Wilde.
I would prefer Wilde.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
see,
Munn's
see,
not
somebody
terrible
said
either.
Emma Watson. No.
No.
Emma Watson more would be Ed.
Ironically, I think she's too young.
She would be Ed before she would be Faye.
That said, I wouldn't hate her as Ed, but anyway, it's not the point.
I feel like she wouldn't be able to get out of her head enough.
Yeah. Who's the chick from Maniac, Robbie?
That was Emma Stone.
Yeah, Emma Stone. I almost said Emma Stone for Radical Ed.
I just started watching Maniac. I like it.
But I don't know that she could like make herself unhot enough to be able to... Because
Ed's very gender neutral.
You're not supposed to be attracted to Ed.
Exactly.
And too many people were anyway.
Yes, you're right.
Damn it, anime.
And on that,
this is why we can't have nice things.
And on that sad note, what's happening in the world of esports over the weekend?
Nothing.
No, actually, we've got three events.
Oh.
It's kind of after this week that it starts to get rough. So,
just really quick before you go into that, because I bet it's not on there, Overwatch Contenders has started.
Contenders is going. I think we're on week three of it this week.
Yep, that sounds right.
TBS E-League Rocket League Tournament is happening this weekend, November 30th into December the 1st. And if you're into CSGO, DreamHack Open Winter and Supernova Malta are both happening this weekend. So if you're into CSGO, that's where you're watching. Boy, can Astralis make it 9 tournaments this year?
I hope they can.
Probably.
Is this their last opportunity? Can they get to Big Ten?
I think there's one more event in the middle of December. They could get to 10
How many total events are there?
Oh God, there's so many.
I mean, there's a lot.
Because I would love to see someone do a perfect streak or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, like say this weekend, you can't
undefeated,
compete in both Supernova Malta and
they happen at the same time.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And lastly, the Winter Royale European finals are going on this weekend. If you want to watch Fortnite,
Well, there you go.
You probably don't.
That's what's going on in the world of esports this weekend. If you're listening to the podcast on Saturday, then go get watching some good esports. But that's going to do it here for the Checkpoint Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for the Checkpoint Podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and much more. That's all over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review, which we'll read here on the show. Checkpoint XP is a production of Westwood One and Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird Atlas. Big thanks to our production team of Rick Scott, Mike Thomas, and Buzz Knight. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to checkpointradio.com.